Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. This is Thursday, November the 20th, 2025. A week from today, it'll be Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day. So I know everybody's looking forward to that annual celebration we have in our country here. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you, Tim.
Tony Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Tony.
Good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm well.
And we thank everybody for listening. A lot to talk about today, as I always say. That's a good thing, because this is a talk show. And if we didn't have anything to talk about, I guess we'd play elevator music or something. I'm not sure what we would do to fill the time. But we got a lot going on in this world of ours, don't we, Fred?
Sure do. It's a time that, I tell you what, I've never seen a quiet news day in the last several years.
Yeah. And today's no different.
Today is absolutely no different, and Chris is going to tell us all about
it. Yeah, we got the Dick Cheney funeral taking place in Washington, D.C. today, right?
Yes,
right now.
At the National Cathedral, yes.
Because we're watching it on TV. We got our TV screen over here, and seeing some faces we haven't seen in a long time, at least in public. Dan Quayle is at this.
Yeah.
By the way, Dick Cheney was president. Was vice president from 2001. Is that right?
Correct.
2009. Is that correct?
Yep. January 20th, 2001 to January 20th, 2009.
Yeah. Before that, he was Secretary of Defense.
Yes, a really good one.
During the George H.W.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else did he do, Tony? Do you know Vice President Cheney? Was he a good cook?
I don't know. I don't know. That was kind of before I was started paying attention to politics.
So how old were you in that era?
Well, I would have been, from fourth grade to high school. So my head was in the clouds.
The 2000 election was the first one I voted in, that I was able to vote in.
Who'd you vote for?
Bush and Cheney.
Okay. Well, they're having it at the National Cathedral. I'm talking about the service for memorial service for Vice President, former Vice President Cheney. And you've got George W. Bush and Laura. You've got Joe Biden and Jill. You've got Kamala Harris. You've got Mike Pence and his wife. You've got, I guess, Kamala Harris's husband's here. I think that's him. Can't see what I'm doing. Al Gore and Dan Quayle are side by side.
Yes.
Together again.
The inventor of the internet showed up.
Reunited, wow. And it feels so good.
So the inventor of the internet and the guy who learned to spell potato.
Yeah.
Sitting side by side. And you know what? Dan Quayle got a raw deal on that.
Yes, he did.
Tony doesn't remember those.
I think I was in fourth grade when that happened.
The media accused Dan Quayle of not being able to spell potato. Well, what it was, he had gone, this is during the campaign, he had gone to a classroom with some young kids, and he spelled potato, and the teacher, I think, corrected him. Well, the teacher was wrong.
Yeah.
The spelling teacher was wrong, and he erased what he said. He was like, well, who am I to question the teacher?
Yeah.
And it turned out the teacher was wrong, and he had actually spelled it right, but Dan Quayle will forever be known as the guy who misspelled potato in front of all the children.
The spelling actually changed over the last 4 years. It's spelled
transition?
Well, it's spelled B-I-D-E-N. That's how they spell potato now.
Like Mr. Potato Head. All right. Anyway, that's happening right now in Washington, D.C. at the National Cathedral. But I've seen Al Gore in a long time, but I haven't seen Dan Quayle in, gosh, how long has it been? 10 years or so in public.
It must be.
Does he still live in Indiana? Because he was from Indiana, Mike Pence.
I'm not sure if he's still there.
Yeah.
I'll Google, what is Dan Quayle up to?
And also Google, The year, tell us, if you can tell us the year that Mike Pence will smile.
Okay.
When is that coming?
Yeah.
What year is that coming up?
AI overview says, I'm not sure. But Dan Quayle is currently the chairman of Cerberus Global Investments, an investment company he has been with since 1999. He also authors a syndicated newspaper column and has written three books since leaving public office. Three more books than I have.
What was the third book was on spelling?
Yes.
What's his job again?
He is the chairman of Cerberus, however you say it, Global Investments, an investment company he's been with since 99.
I was in Global Investments. At one time, but I don't remember seeing him at any of the meetings we were at. So there you go. Big deal happening in Washington. And they are remembering the life of Dick Cheney. Now, conspicuous by his absence is who, Fred?
Yeah, President Trump and Vice President Vance were not invited.
They were not invited?
No.
Okay.
That's the official
word. Oh, they weren't invited. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Tony, what would be the reason for that, maybe?
I think they had a little bit of a...
A conflict?
A little bit of a conflict.
Couldn't make it.
Yeah. I believe Cheney endorsed...
Cheney endorsed
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, because he was ticked at Trump because Trump had gone after his daughter, Liz Cheney, because his daughter had served on that
January 6th committee,
right?
January 6th committee, and they had gone back and forth, a lot of animosity there between the Trump and Cheney family. So no surprise that he's not invited to. Now our flag, as the flags of our flag, has been half staff. Because it's a federal mandate, right?
Yes.
Because anytime a vice president or a president dies, I think it'll be lifted today, I think.
But, I think so, yeah.
Anyway, so if you see a flag's out at half-mast, then the reason for that is because Vice President Dick Cheney passed away. All right, so that's what's happening in our nation's capital. Is Mike Pence awake?
I think so.
Biden's awake. That's kind of surprising. There's Mike Pence. Mike Pence was an excellent congressman.
Yes.
From Indiana, one of the conservative leaders for several years before he, took the vice president role for Donald Trump. Anyway, there you go. We're talking about what's happening in Washington, D.C. All right, Chris, other than that, what else is in the news?
Well, a moment ago, Mr. President, you used the...
Talking to me, right?
Yes sir. Yeah. You used the word animosity. Two people that also have a strong feeling of dislike or hatred for one another are President Donald Trump and New York mayoral-elect Zohran Mamdani.
I don't think they hate each other, do they? That's kind of a strong word.
I would say they have a strong dislike for one another based on things they have said about one another in public. Now, the good news is they're going to meet tomorrow at the White House.
That's good news?
Well, it's better to meet and try to talk about some stuff than continue to bash one another.
They're going to work out a trade deal.
Let me write that down.
New York City. New York City and the rest of the United States of America.
Are we going to trade New York City?
No,
to Russia? Or
trade three of my buildings, Trump is going to say.
The takeaway thus far is when you said, and I quote, "I like Chris." I'm gonna hang that in my office.
Okay.
But anyway, Mr. Trump, President Trump, is going to meet with the soon-to-be mayor of New York City, and they're going to talk about things including like SNAP benefits, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. It's an issue that involves inequality, income inequality, things that Mamdani ran on because he wants to make everything free pretty much in the Big Apple. And the president, who has called Mamdani a socialist and a communist, sometimes both in the same sentence, is going to meet, and they're going to talk about some stuff. I do have some audio of somebody from the Wall Street Journal, another New Yorker by the name of James Freeman, who appeared on Fox today to talk about this upcoming meeting. Clip one.
Right off the bat, you would hope that President Trump would encourage our new mayor to focus on public safety. The commissioner of the police department is going to stay for now. That's good news. And also talk to him about the destructive impact of higher corporate tax rates. That's what Comrade Mamdani has been threatening for New York. Obviously, President Trump really created a model, and and boosted U.S. growth by lowering the corporate tax rate for the United States.
Well, you know, that's wishful thinking right there. I don't think, Tony, that
Zoran Mamdani.
Zoran Mamdani?
That guy.
I don't think he is going to be interested in listening to President Trump tell him how to break his campaign promises.
Yeah, no, I think he's actually on the record now as basically having to admit that they're going to have to raise taxes on higher income individuals to pay for the free buses, at least. The buses are... they estimated to cost around $700 million a year, and you got to get that money somehow. And he's not going to be able to raise taxes on the lower middle class, who, you know, a lot of them voted him into power. So you got to go to the higher earners in your city. And, Trump likes tax cuts for, you know.
Right.
Business.
Well, you know, so. But I don't think, you know, what that I was going on what that gentleman right there from the Wall Street Journal was
James
saying
Freeman.
That Trump is going to try to talk Mamdani out of being Mamdani, basically, and that just not going to work.
Yeah,
that's just a bunch of Mamdani.
It is going to be must watch TV.
Yeah,
because we know what happened when Trump in the Oval Office was meeting live with Zelensky, the Ukrainian leader. And that is a meeting that I've never seen before that went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly, everybody watching. It turned into a, as we say in hockey, a verbal Donnybrook. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
This has the potential, because both these men have pretty good size egos. And so tomorrow, I'm going to be watching, Lord willing, I'm going to be watching to see what happens there. Because if you've just pointed out, Tim, these two people have nothing politically in their ideology that even comes close. You know, Trump has said, we may cut off federal funding if you do what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with regards to the SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump, President Trump, wants to cut back. Remember, they're going to get everybody to reapply for SNAP?
Which is a great idea.
It's a great idea. But do you think Mamdani's going to go along with that?
Yeah, but he doesn't control the federal SNAP program.
He doesn't.
It's a
federal
government program.
Yep.
Mamdani, I'm talking about. Now, he's going to try to do things like freeze rent, government grocery stores, which I don't know where he gets the groceries, and I don't know who administers that. Free subway, free public transit for everybody, and that ought to work out really well in New York, you know.
Yeah.
Even the Democrat governor of New York, even though she endorsed him publicly, has come back now and said, wait a minute.
We don't have the money for that.
Mm-hmm. The state doesn't have the money for what you want to do.
Right, she endorsed him, the governor of New York. I think she saw, you know, he was going to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't have any. She's bringing him back to reality. You know, sorry, what's his first
name? Zoran.
Hey, Zoran. Listen to me. I'm gonna speak plain English to you. We ain't got no money.
That's right.
Now, you're going to have to tax all those billionaires and millionaires in New York.
There's two worldviews so diametrically opposed to one another. Trump came from the ultra-capitalist, big businessman, New York deals, you know, just that's how he views New York. And what he thinks New York should be,
right?
Is, you know, the central hub of finance for the world.
Right.
And Mamdani is coming at it from like this, the communistic wealth confiscation. I don't know how they're going to be able to come to an agreement on anything, to be honest. Yeah.
So we're going to be watching. Is that meeting tomorrow at the White House?
At the Oval Office.
Actually, they're charging pay-per-view tickets you have to buy for it. To watch it.
Well, I think Mamdani wants
it be free.
Wants it offered free. I think that's the difference. Trump wants pay-per-view. Mamdani wants it free. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next topic, Chris.
Let me mention this real quick, because one of the issues that helped get President Trump back into office was the issue of males and female sports, private spaces, Title IX issues. Title IX being a 50-some-odd-year-old law that basically provides women equal opportunity on the sports field as well as facilities like locker rooms, shower spaces, bathrooms, things of that nature. And we all know the story about people like Riley Gaines, former University of Kentucky swimmer, who has been an outspoken critic about males and female sports. One of the broadcasters out there that has long claimed and criticized people like Riley Gaines has been Joy Reid. But even in recent days on her current broadcast, which is like a streaming service type podcast thing, Joy Reid herself has shared concerns now about males and female areas. I had to edit this down, but here's a clean version where you can hear from Joy herself. Clip 7.
This is nothing against trans anybody. What it's saying is I turn around and I see a I would probably go to management and say, wait a minute, why is there somebody, a naked man in this room?
Now, that again was Joy Reid.
That's very, very transphobic.
Yes, yes.
I'm really disappointed in her.
Well, you know, now that she's not on MSNBC anymore, she doesn't have to worry about losing her job there. But she has made headlines because she is saying what a lot of people.
No, she's a far lefty.
Oh, yeah.
You would expect her to say the opposite. And here she is saying what common sense dictates, and that is women don't. I don't care how liberal they are. They don't want dudes wandering around their locker rooms and their showers, especially at a gym. What triggered this was a lesbian, a black lesbian woman in California went viral for her objections to a man who was in, was it Planet Fitness?
It was a Gold's Gym in California.
A Gold's Gym, okay, and a man came in there, and she just came out yelling and screaming, upset this woman was. And it, as I say, it got a lot of attention.
Yes, and you're not the only person to mention that example there of that lady, the lesbian.
I'm not going to yell and scream like her, though.
Oh, no. I don't have the audio of her.
Okay.
But instead, I've got reaction from Jennifer Say. Jennifer Say is the head of XXXY Athletics, who was on the Will Cain Show yesterday afternoon to talk about what in the world happened to Joy Reid. How did she come around on this issue? Clip 8.
She's clearly talking about Tish Hyman, who's the black woman, I think you've had her on her on your show, who encountered a man in the locker room at a what was a Gold's Gym and, you know, screamed and yelled and then got kicked out of the gym. My generous interpretation is that that opened Joy's eyes, someone she did not expect, you know, because she's been screaming that this is like a right-wing issue for the last 10 years. And here she sees, you know, a black woman, a lesbian, a Democrat, and she kind of like it broke her brain a little bit. And she said, you know what, maybe I can say the thing I thought all along. Who knows what she thought all along, right? I mean, I think she goes where the wind blows. But I do give Tish big thanks for moving the Overton window a bit, I think, for a lot of people.
Moving the what?
The Overton window.
Is it like a movie or something?
The Overton window. You know, the you've seen the diagram, two circles, and the middle circle is where they overlap, but then it shifts.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't know what it was called. But sorry,
Trivia
about
Friday on a
Thursday.
Hey, so I'm actually going to save that.
I looked over at Tony, our millennial, with a blank stare because you just go through life, and sometimes things get said, and you go, "I never heard that before," and people go, "What? I never know."
I also have a theory to posit as to why Joy Reid may be changing her tune on some of these issues. Is she is no longer with MSNBC, so she may not be going to the establishments, the exercise establishments where this type of behavior is not very common. Mm-hmm. It, you know, maybe she views things a little more differently now that she goes to the local Planet Fitness and any weirdo can walk in.
Yeah. And, say he's a woman.
Yeah.
And wander around the women's
showers. Kind of opens your eyes
showers.
Being closer to the real world.
One day these places are going to get sued.
Yes.
That something's going to happen and they're going to get sued.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose a lot of money. I'm talking about these fitness gyms that allow a man to say he's a woman and wander around in the showers and the dressing rooms and the changing areas. That's going to happen. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Tony, and Fred and Chris. Is that the end of that story, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me check on something real quick. Do you have clip 16 available? Okay. All right. So as we have reported on AFN, the Texas governor has declared the Muslim civil rights group known as CAIR, C-A-I-R, a terrorist organization. CAIR says that's not fair. How dare you? But Governor Abbott was on Fox just before our show began defending his actions and went on to talk about CAIR and their leadership here. Clip 16.
So listen, Texas has its own separate laws that are independent of the United States laws with regard to designating foreign terrorist organizations. I have that authority as governor, and I used that authority previously to designate the Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations,
right.
and now to designate the Muslim Brotherhood and now CAIR as foreign terrorist organizations. Listen, both of their history is long documented to be either connected or through affiliates connected to terror. With regard to CAIR, for example, one of the founders of CAIR Texas in our state had ties to financing terrorism and was put in prison for 65 years. More recently, the executive director of CAIR praised the October 7th by Hamas and that killed Americans. And so either their connection to or support of terrorism is something that we want to make sure that we block and eliminate in the state of Texas.
Yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He went on in this interview, Governor Abbott, to say by designating them a terrorist group, this would also curtail any plans to purchase land and do business in the state. Now, we've done multiple stories, Chris, and with regards to plans by an Islamic group there just north of Dallas to build a
epic city is what they wanted to call it.
Yes. Yeah. So I think this all kind of ties together on this. CAIR has responded to this. I think you are going to see a lawsuit, and we'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. CAIR stands for what?
The Council of American Islamic Relations.
Correct.
They've been around a long time.
They have been, and they are the first to send out press releases when there is a Islamic attack, a terrorist attack. Oh, that's
Islamic.
That's
Islamophobic.
Not us. Yes,
everything's Islamophobic to them.
Yes.
So now, what did they? Didn't they? Did you just say this? They were giving cash out to people to go and.
That was yesterday.
Disrupt
in a story yesterday.
But yeah. CAIR, I'm saying, was giving cash out. They to disrupt,
to cause unrest,
to cause unrest on college campuses.
Yes,
in favor of the Hamas organization, right? Basically,
right. Yeah, they were given $1,000 checks for anti-Israel agitators.
Right, right. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Yes,
to designate them a terrorist organization. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We'll take our break right here. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Jenna Ellis will be with us in a few moments as well. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. A lot more topics to get to and talk about what's happening in our country and in our world. And we ask you to continue to pray, if you haven't been already, for the Christians in Nigeria. That's the largest country in Africa, and I keep reading these horror stories every day about these Muslim terrorists, Boko Haram, just terrorizing and brutalizing the Christian citizens there in Nigeria. It's really, really bad. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Most of us remember reading a short verse of scripture in the book of Proverbs, "Train up a child in the way he should go." I saw a tragedy last Sunday morning. I hope I see it again next Sunday morning, for I'd rather see the tragedy I saw than a greater one I fear will eventually occur. I'll call him Johnny. That's not his name, but for our purpose, that's what I'll call him. Johnny's in elementary school. He's in his formative years, and Johnny is the tragedy. or miracle, as it may turn out to be. You see, Johnny came to Sunday school and worshiped by himself last week. He's been doing it for some time now. Sometimes Johnny will ride with a neighbor to the church. Sometimes when the weather is good, he'll walk. Sometimes a member of his family will bring Johnny to the church and drop him off. Now, what's the tragedy I saw? Just that. Someone in Johnny's family bringing Johnny, dropping him off to go by himself. Johnny's father and mother have something else to do, more important. And so Johnny managed to get to the place that would give him some direction in life all by himself. The story is repeated often in our society. However, I'm afraid it doesn't happen enough, for most Johnnies never manage to get to Sunday school and worship. They simply find more important things to do, like the rest of the family. How long little Johnny will continue to see to it that he gets himself to a place that can give him moral and spiritual instruction and guidance, I don't know. I hope he'll find strength in himself to continue the habit, but I'm afraid that one day Johnny will find it easier to sleep, or one Sunday the family will make some plans that will require Johnny to be away, and that will be followed by another Sunday with some more plans, and another, and another. I guess what I'm really saying is that the pack is stacked against Johnny. The chances of his continuing his present habits are small. The odds against him are too heavy. Johnny will find further down the road that his visits to the house of God will have to cease. The family has other things to do, more important. Johnny is not a poor boy. His family is one of means. They have what most families long for, two cars, a fine home, modern conveniences, the whole works. Now, they're not millionaires, but they're well over the poverty line, materially speaking. And that's the tragedy. Johnny's family gives him everything he needs, except what he needs the most. And I guess if you asked them, Johnny's family would say they love him. Certainly there would be an emptiness in their home should Johnny suddenly die. But like I said, Johnny's chances are slim. There's just too much going against him. There's always that slight hope for a miracle, however. So I guess we can hope. But in a few years, if Johnny doesn't make it and he turns out wrong, don't be too hard on him, for as a youngster, he really tried. Oh, incidentally, Johnny is not kin to you, is he?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Fred, Tony, and Chris. We thank you for listening to AFR. Jenna Ellis joins us now from the great state of Florida. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. It is a great state of Florida.
The free state of Florida. That's what Governor DeSantis calls it, right?
Yes, yes, and we love it.
You know, if you go to Florida and you cross the state line, I'm talking about driving, not flying, because I don't know how you'd see the sign. But it's a road sign that says, "Welcome to Florida, the free state of
the
Florida."
The free state, yes.
Yeah, so that's their motto. Jenna, okay, a lot to talk to you about. I want to ask you about this. You heard of a guy named Jeffrey Epstein?
Unfortunately, yes. We've been hearing too much about him.
I know. I don't want to talk about this much, but I do want to ask your opinion. You are a constitutional lawyer, and you follow Congress and everything like that. Is this over now? I mean, now that the Congress has voted to release all the quote Epstein files, and I don't even know what all that consists of. Is that like what is that? You know, and then
I don't think. Anybody really knows at this point what that consists of, but the Babylon Bee had the best headline today. It said, "Trump sadly announces a dog ate the Epstein files, and then the dog was lost in a boating accident, and then the boat was nuked." And I think you actually sent that to me, and I think that's where everybody's at right now with all of this, because it's gone on for so long that no matter what is actually released, I don't think anybody on any side is going to believe that it's the whole thing. And then they're going to wonder, well, what was redacted? And then Speaker Johnson coming out and saying, well, there are national security interests and all that. I mean, what possible national security interests could there be for someone who's accused of the types of sex crimes that Epstein? I mean, I've never heard this ever related to this kind of a sex crime. And so the only possible conclusion that I'm left to reach, and I don't have any insider information any more than anybody else on this conversation, the only thing that I can conclude is that the national security interests are protecting people in Washington, which is the very problem that conservatives have had to begin with this whole debacle.
People want to know, because otherwise there's any kind of interest in this would be purely prurient, as they say. Although that's not beyond Americans. Americans like prurient interest sometimes, but what
along with Schadenfreude. Yeah, we like that one too.
I don't think we can say that on American Family Radio.
I'm Italian.
Is that a window, Tony? What was that?
I'm Italian.
Okay, I think the main interest in the quote Epstein files, if I'm using quotes right, because we don't know exactly what that is now, is that a lot of people want to know, was there a shadow government? Has there been a big, group of people, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, who have been secretly running the government or being bribed or being involved in activities where they were compromised? And you go, well, this is why this happens and this happens and this happens, when it seems like it's unexplainable. Or why are both sides working together so closely? Why is there a unigovernment or a unit, whatever they call that?
Uniparty.
And people want to know, well, maybe it's money. And maybe it's people like Jeffrey Epstein who, had blackmailed all these people to do certain things, and people want to know if that's true or not. Have I got that basically
right? Yeah,
that's
a good summation.
Yeah.
See what Jenna says about it.
That's why I'm here. But, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your podcast going to be on this week?
Yeah, so not the Epstein files, thankfully, right? Because we really don't need to be doing any of that. But we have on one of our favorites, actually, a raw egg nationalist. He's kind of an anon from the UK, but is talking about a very interesting issue that the birth rate in the UK is going way down. And as of the most recent government data that they have from 2022, 77% of women are having abortions in the UK that are white. And that's a little under 200,000 abortions a year. And so there's no way to paint this as anything other than a disaster. So we talk about the rise of abortions, selective abortions in the UK, along with the companion issue of the infiltration of Muslims into the UK and the displacement of UK citizens that are, it's now becoming overrun by Muslims, and how that is mirroring what's happening in the United States in some cities. Like you see what's going on in Michigan, you see what's going on in New York City, and why the Trump agenda really needs to protect our borders. And of course, we get into pro-life, all of that. So a really long form conversation that I found really fascinating.
I want to listen to that podcast. So when will it be out?
It will be up tomorrow. So the On Demand drops every Friday. And to listen to that, you can go to, Spotify, any of those others, or to AFR.net. Click on that tab for podcasts and then go down to On Demand.
Yeah. Okay. So, folks, if you go to our website, AFR.net, and you click on the podcast banner, then find Jenna Ellis podcast. It's once a week. It's it's called On Demand. So you can get it very easily. As Jenna said, other places, Spotify, other places where podcasts are available, but certainly you can get it at our website.
And
you
definitely, and our app as well.
Yes, in our app, mm-hmm. AFR.net. So you definitely want to make sure you listen to Jenna's podcast each week here on the American Family Radio website. Fred, is this the same in Canada, the birth rates?
Oh, yeah. very much the same, and I would say it's about the same here. And you did say it's white women in Britain, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And so, just imagine this kind of if you put it on a graph, the number of babies being born to white women down, mm-hmm. the babies being born to the Islamic population, which is growing in Britain, is going up. The cultural change that brings about, and we've done stories of what's been going on. I think it's Liverpool, some of these cities in Britain, basically where the British cops are told don't go in there.
Why does this matter, Tony?
Well, to me, it's not so much the concerning part is not so much the racial aspect, the replacement of race. It's the replacement of values. So. The UK native birth rate dropping dramatically, and that statistic, was that 77%, Jenna, is that what
yes.
you said? That's disturbing, not only for the pro-life aspect, but for the people of England. You are going to be replaced, your values are going to be replaced, because the people who are having children and that you have been importing, they don't adhere to the values that the UK was founded on, and still,
right.
to, you know, a large part in Judeo-Christian values. They're coming from a part of the world where it is Sharia law. It is ruled by, you know, a religious theocratic dominion. So to me, that it's more so the replacement of the values than just the population replacement that is concerning. And that's what's going to happen.
This is happening all across the West,
mm-hmm.
where we see the influx of people from the Middle East, people from North Africa. Their problem. That's where people are flocking from to go to Europe. Now, you could look at it one or two ways, or maybe both are true at the same time. There are a lot of people going to escape poverty, and maybe they don't like Sharia law. You know, some of them are escaping to Europe because they want to live free, and they want to, I'm giving the best base on this, okay? And they want more opportunity to make, make a living and make a better life for themselves. I do think that's why a majority of people come to the United States. I don't think they have sinister mm-hmm. plans. I do think there are terrorists who come here and are Chinese spies. I do think that happens for the vast majority of people coming to Europe, probably to the, but that doesn't change the fact of the numbers that Jenna gave, which really don't have anything to do. They're independent of one another, of the decision of these people to just pour into Europe. But the native Europeans are deciding we don't want to have babies. We don't have families anymore. And so that, as you guys have said, that's going to reach a point where you're not going to have native
I would disagree slightly on the people who are coming into the UK and even the people who are coming into America, that they're coming here for a virtuous purpose to actually understand American native culture and the Judeo-Christian worldview. They are failing to assimilate, and they are bringing their religion, their cultural values, and their mores here, and they're establishing their own culture within the United States. And we're seeing that happen, like in Lansing, Michigan, where you hear the Muslim call to prayer in an American city mm-hmm. at all hours of the day. And you look at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and you see that their prayer rooms are overrun by Muslims who are worshiping Allah. And you're seeing all of this across even now elections with Mamdani in New York City, who is an avowed, you know, Muslim socialist. So these aren't people who are coming into America because they're abandoning where they grew up, and they're saying, you know what, I value and respect the American way of life, and I'm going to be a hard worker, and I'm going to participate. One of the things that we learned during the government shutdown was how many non-citizens benefit from the welfare programs. Mm-hmm. And you saw all of those numbers, and you also saw in the Mamdani election how many non-U.S. born voters, and so people who can vote but they're not U.S. born, are the ones that are pushing candidates like that, and who are suggesting that somehow this Muslim socialist has a better way of operating in the U.S. than our own native worldview. And so this is an infiltration, and I think it's purposeful. And so what we need to be doing, and what the Republican Party and conservatives are calling for increasingly, is not just a stop of illegal immigration and mass deportations, but even a stop of legal immigration until we get a handle on all of this. And this is one of the topics that we actually cover in the podcast that'll be released tomorrow as well.
Yes, that I agree with everything you said. That is a separate issue from why aren't native Europeans, why aren't people in America having children to keep up with the
yes.
birth, to keep up with the replacement rate. And I don't know what the, Fred, do you have any thoughts on why this may be? You think it's the cost of raising families today?
I think it is. It is we've done stories on this. One of the reasons they say, couples say today, is that we're going to delay having our first child,
right?
Because we want lots of money in the bank, mm-hmm. so we can buy a house,
right.
all of those sorts of things. That's one of the I'm not saying I agree with that,
yeah.
but that's one of the reasons being given.
Climate change has been cited by some young couples too. They buy into the myth that we are killing the planet by having more children.
Yeah, that to me, those are...
Are you serious, Clark?
I'm dead serious.
Yeah, this is something that
there's a lot of
people
35 and younger that don't have kids because
Tony,
of the
Tony, do you believe in this global warming?
Well, obviously not. I have five. Yeah. I'm killing the planet.
Tony's shame on you. Tony.
Tony's busting the average wide open.
Yeah.
You're going to make emissions great again.
I think it's a reflection also of the moral decay amongst that the younger generation would view children as being a burden. That's their priority. It's and it's a self I'll just say it's selfish mindset to say, okay, I want to do what I want to do for longer, and you know, or if it's for financial reasons, even that is going to get pushed out further because you still can't afford housing. You still can't, even if you're single or married with no children, that is slipping away. So
I just know the baby boomer generation, which I'm on the tail end of. I know that, and people, a lot of people listening to me right now who are in their 60s and 70s and maybe 80s, they came from an era, and I came from an era where it was nothing to have four children. Okay. Mm. Four was probably the average, because a lot of families were mm-hmm. five, six children, seven children even.
Yeah.
You had three children, you were a small family.
Yes.
I'm talking about back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and even certainly in the, now birth control, that entered the picture, in the 70s or 80s, and that changed everything 60s, too.
1965 was mm-hmm. the Supreme Court case, and that was coupled with
birth
the sexual
and
revolution.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and yep. the sexual revolution and the church, I also largely blame for this as well, that is not telling young people that marriage is God's design for you. And mm-hmm. you see so many so-called Christians that are buying into this secular nonsense that they don't want to get married. They want to, even for some purportedly lofty or spiritual reasons, like, well, I need to work on myself and I need to, you know that I'm complete in Jesus before I get married. And it's like, you know, none of that is actually biblical. Any of the marriages or any of the commentary in Genesis or all the way through, you know, what Jesus talked about in marriage, it doesn't say, you know, make yourself a whole person and get therapy before you leave your father and mother and be united to your wife. I mean, none of that is scriptural, but psychology has really infiltrated the churches. And so many Christians are buying into this myth that somehow they need to, you know, work on themselves and all of this before they can go out and decide that they want a quote-unquote life partner. I mean, we are not even teaching what marriage and family genuinely is in the church. And I've had conversations, you know, as a single woman who's looking for a husband, and you guys all know this, it's so frustrating to me to see that so many men of my age group and of, you know, younger women that I know, they don't have any prospects because men don't want to be men. They don't want to be providers anymore. They don't even know if they want to get married. And then even worse, they don't know if they want to have kids because it's either a cramp on their lifestyle or, you know, as we've talked about, the affordability issue. But they're not looking, the church is not incentivizing young men to pursue God's design regardless of all of this other secular nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, bingo. You just bingoed. All right, Jenna, thanks for joining us today. And what's coming up on Jenna Ellis in the morning tomorrow morning?
Yeah, so we're actually going to be talking with my mom, who is a biblical counselor, about dealing with maybe some family conflict during the holidays as Thanksgiving is rapidly approaching. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then Monday, I'm really excited because, you know, Scott Jennings, who is on CNN, and he, yeah, he loves, he does all the takedowns. He is going to join me.
Oh,
really excited.
Awesome.
About his new book that is titled A Revolution of Common Sense, which is what I love seeing him bring to CNN and the liberal minds explode.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to that one on Monday.
All right. Great. All right, Jenna, have a good day. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. And for everyone listening, if you know somebody that is potentially an applicant, Tim is accepting applications for my future husband.
No.
Please send them.
I would not do that.
Oh, we do that all the time. And you know
Jonathan's over there sweating bullets.
And comments at AFR. And you know what? I say this all the time, and we've never gotten like a single one. This is what's crazy.
Look, I'm in IT, and I'm going to have to increase the spam filter.
We got to filter it out. But
husband.
Send them to Ed's email.
Hey, don't nix them until we go through them. You know, seriously.
All right.
Help me out here.
Well, we will pray for Jenna's future husband. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. Take care.
I see a new show starting on AFR.
Yeah.
The dating game.
Hearts on fire.
You know, every once in a while in my world, somebody says, you know, we ought to hook these two people up together. And I'm going, you can do it if you want to, but I'm not hooking anybody up.
I don't,
hooking up's a bad way to say it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
putting together.
Putting together. You know, this person, they're both single and they would be wonderful together. Allison might say sometimes, and I'm going, yeah, well, you go for it. Because as soon as I hook them up, there I go again. Then something happens, and they go, "I can't believe you put me with what a loser! You made me get engaged. Now I've got wasted 2 years of my life. Thank you, Tim."
Yeah,
I'm going like, no, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm just going to leave that to the Lord.
There you go.
Okay, because I'm not matchmaking squat. Okay, all right. You're listening to today's. Have you ever matchmade, Tony?
I have not. Okay. I stay away from it for the same reasons.
What
I don't want to be.
Fred, you're a matchmaker?
Absolutely not.
Okay, Chris, you're a matchmaker, aren't
you? No. To be honest with you, I wake up every day wondering what my wife saw in me 25 years ago. But God bless her for it.
All right. Well, how much time we got left here? I want to mention this, and I don't know if this is funny or not, but. This happened on Air Force One. Do we have the audio, Piggy?
Yes.
We do?
It's got some background noise, but right. I do have it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, now, this is not worth very much time, but this is classic Trump. President Trump, you know, he can be a gentleman, and then sometimes he can be just a...
he can be Trump.
He can be a very, very, very rude, brash New Yorker. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is this... reporter for Bloomberg, which is a news service, and she's on the Air Force One, mm-hmm. and President Trump's talking to some of the reporters, and she asked him a question having to do with the Jeffrey Epstein files, mm-hmm. We're about to hear what he says?
Yeah.
Can you even understand it?
There is some background noise. The plane's obviously flying
okay,
to there.
Okay, go ahead.
Clip four.
So, if you didn't hear what he said, this was the lady's name is Catherine Lucy with mm-hmm. Bloomberg, and he says, quiet, quiet, piggy. Now, am I wrong? Should I not be laughing about that? Because I laugh about it, and then I go,
if you don't laugh, you cry. That's
Fred, if you, as a reporter, Fred, have you ever been told quiet, quiet, piggy?
Never. No, this is Trump. And with Trump, there's a lack of a gateway between what you're thinking and mm-hmm. what you say publicly.
He has no filter. Is that what you're saying?
No. And I'm sure there's people around him that kind of just grimace when they hear
that. No, not at the White House. They say, "Dear leader is right." Whatever he says and does.
Well, they're not going to disagree publicly because they won't have a job.
You think they're cringing, though, when he calls a woman piggy?
You've got to believe that. You just know that, okay, this is going to explode. And we're going to be asked about this and all these sorts of things.
The thing about it is she's not even overweight.
No.
You know, so it's not even an accurate description.
I wouldn't call a woman that way anyway.
But I'm just saying what makes it kind of worse is he does this with women. Mm-hmm. And used to, that would be a cancel, disqualify. You call Nikki Haley a bird brain for 6 months. That's usually disqualifying, but Trump just rolls on. I think what happens to us, it's kind of like with Charles Barkley. Mm-hmm. People develop a reputation for insulting everybody, mm-hmm. and so you hear it so often, you just finally go, well, that's just Trump being Trump.
Yeah.
Whereas if Vance did that, you would go, I'm shocked. I'm surprised he did that.
I think we can all agree it is unbecoming of the president to insult a reporter, female reporter, especially to call her a name. But I will say this: I've noticed that I think even the media is just so used to it. This would be like with any other president, with any other candidate, this would be a national story. For a week.
Especially and now this will just, a woman.
Yes, exactly. But because everybody just has come to expect this with Trump, it'll be out of the cycle by at the end of this show. Mm-hmm. Everybody just kind of accepts it.
Quiet, piggy.
I think what people dislike about Trump is also what they like about Trump. Mm-hmm. He is not a politician.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Right.
You know, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, they would not say this.
Right.
He is a New York tycoon businessman. Mm-hmm. This is the way he has operated for decades, has this tycoon.
I agree with everything you're saying. There's a reason. But what's going to happen is in 2 years, if a Democrat's running for president, or I hope they wouldn't win, then and if that Democrat, whoever it may be, Gavin Newsom, says to Laura Ingraham, hush, hush, piggy, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, that's awful.
Yeah.
We can't accept that behavior.
That's why that's why it's important for us to now.
Yeah. At least say that's funny. We don't agree with that kind of behavior.
I'll say this too. Yeah. You know, Trump, my filter may loosen up if I had to deal with the media and its constant attacks and everything he's had to go through. I mean, they're not kind to him. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, that may factor into it, too. He's dealt with them for so long.
But at some point, I'm going,
you know,
you're the president.
Yeah.
Just deflect. Just say, I'm not going to answer that question.
Right.
I don't appreciate that question. Yeah. Or next.
Yeah.
You don't have to hurl personal insults. He threatened ABC to take away their license, their FCC license, because he didn't like a question that they answered. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Chris, you got one more?
I do. For people that are listening to us in the cities of San Antonio, Waco, Texas, or Pontiac, Michigan, you might start seeing some Amazon drones in your skies. I say that because Amazon has announced it's going to be adding drone delivery to San Antonio and Waco in Texas and Pontiac, Michigan, bringing the total number of Prime Air locations to 4 across 3 states. This is looking to have a big impact. Pretty much, according to a Newsweek article that I just shared on our Facebook page, some people may actually get their deliveries 60 minutes after they order a product now, thanks to these drones.
So are we talking about the skies?
It look like the Jetsons.
That's what I'm saying. Are we talking about drones shooting across the top of houses?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ready with boxes.
With boxes.
Mm-hmm.
With boxes.
Mm-hmm. To land on your front yard and drop your package off.
Dove season in Mississippi is going to be real interesting. Yeah.
I don't see how this is going to.
Maybe I brought back 12 doves and a couple of packages from Amazon.
I don't know whose they are.
I don't know.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.